G'day, Sean Cullinan here from Sports Geek. I'm your host and have been so for 194 episodes. This episode is an episode one remix. 5 years ago, May 9, 2013, I first launched the Sports Geek podcast as it was known then. And so to celebrate 5 years, 194 episodes, over 200 guests, over 280,000 downloads from I think 113 different countries as we were looking at the stats, I just wanted to, one, say thank you to you as a listener and also thank you to the Sports Geek team. James Eade, who's been on board since about episode 80, editing these podcasts and making me sound better than I am. Megan Villapuca, who does a terrific job behind the scenes, help coordinate guests and timing and helps with the show notes and all the admin work that needs to happen to keep Sports Geek up and running. Thanks a lot, Meg. Jolly Garros, thank you very much for the work that you've been doing over the past 15 months in amplifying and making sure you, the listener, find out about the podcast. You most likely found out about the podcast via the campaigns that Jolly's been running on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So this episode is a remix, digitally remastered, of episode one. So please enjoy it. Until just before we get to that episode, I've got some travel coming up. I will be in San Francisco on May 20. I'm there for a couple of days, May 20, 21 and 22. I'm lucky enough to be able to catch some games and catch up with some people. I've got a few spots available. If you're in San Francisco and you want to meet up for a coffee, for a beer, just to say hello, please reach out to me, sean@sportsgeekhq.com. You can get me via email or simply send me a tweet at Sean Callanan. And then after that, the 22nd, 3rd, 4th and 5th, I will be headed to Montreal for C2 Montreal. So if you're in Montreal, if you're going to C2 Montreal, you're in the area and you want to catch up, love to catch up with you. I'm already booking in some of my brain dates that they allow in the networking facilities of C2 Montreal. If you're going to be there, please let me know. But until next week, we will be back with episode 195 of Sports Geek. Go back into the time capsule 5 years ago and listen to episode one, where I chat with James Royer. From then, he was with the Tampa Bay Lightning, with Francis Leach on ABC Grandstand, and I also chat with Daniel Harford on 1116 SEN about how you can handle fans on social media. Really, 5 years later, and we're probably still talking about it. Please enjoy episode one of Sports Geek. Welcome to episode one of the Sports Geek podcast. We'll talk to James Royer from the Tampa Bay Lightning, talk about fan feedback on social pages, and you'll learn how to build an infographic in only 5 minutes. My first interview on the Sports Geek podcast is with James Royer from the Tampa Bay Lightning, who came on ABC Grandstand with Francis Leach, or at St. Frankly, if you're not following him on Twitter. We were lucky enough to talk to James about Bolt's Social Central. So the Tampa Bay Lightning have recently done some renovations to their stadium, and we talked to James about how they made a few changes to their stadium to better activate and better engage their digital fans.
Francis Leach here on your Saturday morning on Grandstand Breakfast. We'd love to catch up with the digital sports geek, Sean Callanan, each Saturday to find out what's been happening in sport in the digital space. G'day, Sean.
G'day, Francis. How you doing?
I'm not too bad, mate. Interesting stuff that you brought to the table today from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, for those who don't know their American sport, what major competitions are they playing?
They are at NHL.
On the ice.
On the ice, ice hockey down in Tampa.
Now, they've taken a different approach to their social media, and they've been really innovative, particularly solving a problem that they thought they'd sort of hit a roadblock with. Explain what was going on.
So, so they were pretty much in process of remodeling their stadium, and they had these four corner suites as part of the stadium that sort of looked in on the ice, and they, as part of the renovations, they remodeled them and sold effectively three of the corners to sponsors, and so the corners are all owned and operated effectively by the sponsors. But they had one corner left over, and they weren't quite sure what to do with it as far as sponsorship and things go. And what they decided to go is what they've called Bolt's Social Central. And we've talked before about the big display boards, electronic display boards, and they've used it to show things, all things social. So it shows their Instagram feeds, their Twitter feeds. It's getting fans checking in. So it's real, a digital activation, really getting the fans to rally around all the things they're doing online.
Well, James Royer is with us. He's the Director of Digital Media at the Tampa Bay Lions, on the line from the United States. Hello, James. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Francis, and thanks, Sean, for having me.
So how hard was it to do this, to actually get this wall up and operating?
Well, I think you have a number of different factors that all play in place when it gets used like this. One is the technology within the building, technology within your internal TV network, and how those TVs are fed, and then obviously the Wi-Fi capability too. So it was a challenge to get it up. I know a lot of teams have called me up and said, how do you guys pull this off? You know, we were trying to do the same thing, and it was a bit of a challenge. And fortunately, we have great relationships with some local partners who get social media, and they jumped in and took on the project and championed through. So
James, how from a you're running all the social and digital channels for both the Tampa Bay Lightning and also the stadium. So that relationship works really well. How have you used the board to, rather the visual spectacle of the fans being able to go by and, tag their Instagram shots, how have you actually used the board to get fans engaged, both in the stadium and probably more importantly, the ones watching at home and getting a little bit jealous that they're not there?
Yeah, absolutely. We know that in the sports world, we saw a lot of stats coming through in social media that one of the most frequent places that people take photos and share them is from sporting events. It's usually in the facility. So that's what we're trying to capture here with a lot of the photos coming through. And we wanted to organize it in some way, shape, or form, too, so we could see those. We also saw that adoption of hashtags, even within Instagram, has been kind of slow to go on. But now that I'm seeing results that reports saying now that photos on Instagram that do have hashtags are performing much better from an engagement standpoint. So we're trying to capture some of those elements of it. And obviously it gets people excited. When we have activations inside the building where we give away something simple or we ask people to go on photo hunts for us, go to a sponsor location and take a picture in this area and share it. And it's been great from that standpoint because they've been able to get some more partners are happy about seeing their own logos in place. But obviously what we're trying to do too is create that conversation in the building that people who are here so that it is reaching out to their networks and people are saying, oh my gosh, a lot of things are going on at the Tampa Bay Times Forum and we got to be there for a game or we got to be there for a concert or event. So we have been able to create another version of this for our Arena Football League team as well. So we use the same technology and the same thing. It's all keyed into their channels and we're going to run it for some concerts and events as well. So it's been able to utilize those different platforms and really make this a better experience for the fans.
James, how do you curate it? Because you can't just allow people to throw anything up there. That could be a rather hair-raising experience. So is there somebody whose job it is just to be an on-the-go editor to see what's coming in and pick and choose what goes up on your Bolt Social Central?
That is correct. We have to put it in a queue that we will review the photos. We don't want the wrong things going up, and we know that kind of things happen. But and I think even on the Twitter side, the Twitter side is a little more real time. Fans do get upset, and especially when teams not performing the way that they want them to perform, and it is always a challenge to see what kind of things they put up there. But fortunately, with Twitter, it only displays four or five tweets at a time, which is very strategic for that purpose. That if something's going to be put up there, it's going to be refreshed out of there pretty quickly. So we weren't too concerned about the Twitter aspect of things. We as a part of the discussions, we'd even talked about putting up their Twitter profile images on there. And we said, no, I think that's probably the bigger concern, is we could see some problems with that. So we said just put the tweets, the text of the tweets, and the usernames as opposed to anything else.
And so, in your discussions with other teams, a lot of them will say, well, we want to put this up, but we don't have the funds, and then they start looking for a sponsor to do it. Now, in your case, you've invested in this corner of the stadium as effectively a fan engagement play. But I'm sure now, now that you've done it and you've made that investment, I'm sure now you're having sponsors saying, well, we want to be part of that. We want our brand integrated with the wall, well, you know, like you've done with sponsor integrations. Is it a bit of a, you know, put in the investment and both the fans and the sponsors will come? Is that sort of the goal over the next 12 months?
Definitely. We definitely want to activate this area with a sponsor who gets social. A lot of sponsors will come to us and say, hey, we want to be part of this social media thing. And sometimes they know what that means, sometimes they don't. And I think what we're trying to do is educate them on the best practices and usages. We can be a good corporate partner
James,
for them.
James Royer is with us, Director of Digital Media at Tampa Bay Lions with Sean Callan and Alex.
The Lightning.
Lightning, sorry, Lions.
You've been talking rugby this morning.
Yes, I have too. I've got Lions on the brain. From the United States with Sean Callan, our digital sports analyst here on Grandstand Breakfast. James, in terms of the Wi-Fi aspect, this is a frustrating aspect for all Australian sports fans because we can go to big events and we're encouraged to get involved and then we sort of log onto our smartphones or whatever we're using and it's just like you hit the brick wall, you cannot post anything. How is it that you can get 20,000 people in that space and make sure that everything can flow through nicely?
Well, Francis, yeah, actually, I make the same mistake sometimes. I actually say Lions because I actually worked for the Detroit Lions about 10 years ago, so I still make that mistake too, so don't worry about that. In regards to the Wi-Fi, we were very fortunate. Well, one is our ownership really gets what we're doing here, and they've made the investment to invest in Wi-Fi. And it just so happened that we held the Republican National Convention as part of our presidential elections last year in the U.S. Last August in September. And so that accelerated that process to getting Wi-Fi in the building. We had a local cable company who's our partner on that. Bright House is the name of the company. They came in and helped us out with that. But obviously, it needed to be up in place. We also were very fortunate to have all the cell phone companies, because of that event coming into play, say, hey, we got to approve our cell signal in that building. So even if sometimes the Wi-Fi is not working, we have ramped up the cell service in the building enough that they can get to them on their devices and through cellular means as well.
Yeah, that's been a constant topic of the time that I've been here with in Francis, and one that's a big discussion at the SEEK conference. We're going to be talking again in Kansas City, but it is something that the infrastructure needs to be there, because then marketers like yourself and trying to do sponsorship activations, you need to have that infrastructure in place. Otherwise, you know, I was lucky enough to go to a few stadiums, and if you don't have the infrastructure, and if you take the, you know, San Francisco Giants on one side of the bay and the Oakland A's on the other side of the bay, you know,
first world, third world?
It is exactly like that. AT&T Park is the most Instagram ballpark in the world, and it's all because they've got the infrastructure there. So that definitely helps, you know, down the track, even if you're selling sponsorship signage and anything you're doing, and, you know, game day activations, but getting people through the gate, just being able to have that ability to brag. And I think the good thing about this, the Bolt Social Central, is that it trains the fans, even just by them walking past. Oh, now I know the hashtag. Oh, I better take my shot because it's going to end up on the board. And the more fans you do, the more you can develop your, you know, what we call digital cheer squad, get them out there and promoting it. It makes James' job a lot easier because they're out there pushing the Tampa Bay message.
Well, I love the Bolts Social Central wall. It's a great idea. James, how's the season gone so far?
Well, we actually wrapped up our hockey season last week. We didn't make the playoffs this year. We had a couple injury challenges and some changeover in the year, but we're looking forward to being in the playoffs next year and getting ready for that. So, but I think you nailed it. I think you said something there that really resonated with me in training our fans. And one of the things we've done, we've increased our check-ins to our building on an average of 35% a night, and that's on Foursquare and on Facebook. One of the things we've been doing is we give away something simple, like on St. Patrick's Day, we gave away a simple pin that basically said, "Kiss me, I'm a Bolts fan." Or on Valentine's Day, we gave away cupcakes. And we gave those away to people who checked into the building. They sourced that check-in. We give them a cupcake. And it was great to see that just grow tremendously. And that has a lot of value to us as an arena from a lot of purposes. But I think the other thing was really fun to watch was when we were interacting with these fans coming up and doing this, some people would say, hey, you know, what is this? And we say, do you have a smartphone? And they go, yeah. Do you have Facebook? Yeah. and they pull it out. That's probably the first time they've ever checked into a place. But they were willing to do that because they enjoyed the takeaway from that.
It's the power of cupcakes. It's the power of cupcakes, James.
Good on
you, it's funny you say that because, you know, I would see people with opposing team jerseys. Now, Tampa, we're in a location in the U.S. where it's a vacation destination. It's warm weather climate almost year round, and you get people from the northern cities or even Canadian cities who circle Tampa Bay when their favorite team is playing Tampa Bay, and they plan their vacations around it. So they come down here, and so we see a lot of opposing fans, you know, wearing their jerseys or their sweaters, and you know, I had some people come up to me from Buffalo, and they wanted a cupcake, and I said, I'm not going to give this to you until you give me a Go Bolts. And they were happy to tweet Go Bolts out for me. So so it tells you how quickly people will sell their souls or sell their sports loyalties for cupcakes.
Good on you, James. Great to talk to you.
Great talk to you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for James Royer, at James Royer from the Tampa Bay Lightning, for his discussion on Bolt Social Central. I'll add some notes and some links in the show notes if you want to check out Bolt Social Central. I guess the main takeaway for me from that interview is ABT, always be training. And, you know, the insight there on both telling the fans what the hashtag is and informing them that you want them to check into your stadium becomes, you know, bigger all the time. And the more you can train your fans to be doing the actions you want, the better results you can have later on when you want to do those sponsor activations. The other one for mine, it's a little bit Kevin Costner-like, Field of Dreams. You know, if you build it, they will come. And that's what we're seeing a lot with a lot of digital innovation. It's a matter of building it, proving it, then selling it. A lot of sponsors aren't really ready to take that leap on new ideas. But if you can, you know, do these micro tests, and not that the Bolt Social Central is a micro test fitting out a corner of the stadium, but if you can put in the investment to test these theories and do these activations, then you'll have the proof there that you can take back to sponsors, and then they want to be involved because they'll see the chatter online. To this week on just moving across to halftime, catching up with Daniel Harford on Wednesdays. This week, it was a bit of a trigger from last week's show where I got some choice SMSs on the SMS machine, as happens when I'm on Talkback Radio. And it got me thinking about some of the discussions that I've had with teams around handling fan feedback on social chat channels and some of the problems you sometimes find yourself in when you've got some passionate fans that just are a little bit upset. And we discussed some of the scenarios on how you can handle that from a Facebook, Twitter, and from all social platforms point of view. This is myself with Daniel Harford on Halftime on 1116 SEN.
Sean Carolan, our sports digital media guru for sportsgeekhq.com.
Hello, birthday boy.
G'day, Half. How you doing?
Happy birthday, mate.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Great to have you in on your birthday. Nice of you to do that. Well, I'll mention you in the bulletin a little bit later on when we get through the quiz.
No worries. Me and Enrique and Inglesias.
Okay.
Today, yes. Discussing fan feedback. And the thing is that social media offers all these new channels for fans to express their opinion about teams.
Yep.
and you know, effectively give them that public forum. We've talked about it before, Seth Godin's quote of that describes sports fans or fans in general, but I think it describes sports fans perfectly as positive deviants. You know, yes. Which is what a sports fan is. You know, they love their team. There's so much passion pouring out of them. And most of the time it is positive, you know, as much as they're in the stands, you know, cheering their team on. But occasionally, you know, emotions get the better of us. Just, you know, your team might not be doing exactly, you know, doing as well as you would have liked. And sometimes you would go to social media to vent, and yep. That might be on the team's Facebook page, you know, complaining about player XYZ or complaining about a certain play. You know, it might be a game like yesterday's game with the Golden State Warriors. They had an awesome game. Steph Curry's going off and then they lose that lead at the end. Now, I'm sure, 98% of the Warrior Nation was, ecstatic about the effort and the what they put in, but there will be a certain percentage of them who will be hanging the coach for not drawing up the play right and leaving Ginobili wide open, or why there wasn't a switch. So there will always be those kind of fans. So as someone who's managing those pages, you've got to take on board the situation that the fans are facing. So if they're you've got to have a bit of empathy for feel just as hurt as they do if it is a close loss, or worse if it's an absolute belting, and you're going through a long losing streak, as we did, sort of helping out the Sydney Thunder, haven't won a game since 2011. Didn't win one last year. So obviously the fans are going to get angry. In this case, it was, Chris Gayle, why doesn't he do better? Now, we've had to sometimes, tell the players, any player that's reading the Facebook comments on a Facebook page really just shouldn't, because, it sometimes is the worst and the best of humanity on those pages. So
humanity.
Yeah. So the main thing is from a club point of view is when to block. Like when to say enough's enough.
It's like the SMS machine.
It is a bit like the SMS machine. You get a few comments there and you say, no, we don't want to read that one out, or we don't want to even read that one at all.
Ever.
And so, it comes down to, and normally, normally our rules are, if you're abusive and threatening and swearing, one, you're protecting the other people on the page. And a lot of those people on the page will be kids. There's a lot of kids on Facebook and Twitter, so you want to protect them. So especially on Facebook, it's very visible if someone is having a go on a thread. Facebook is doing a better job in capturing all of those words, and just automatically hiding them through a filter. But if it's a constant, negative Nelly kind of abuse, and they just don't want to see another point of view, then put the block and say, hasta la vista. But then there's the case of you just might have got them at the wrong time. Yeah. They might have just been overly emotional and, had 6 to 12 too many beers and decided to just have a big rant on the Facebook page. And so that's probably where you want to get in that, red card type of system where you say, yep, you've got a ban for 3 months. We've got our club policy here. Here's an email. If you've been blocked, please email us. And think about why you might have been blocked, because we would have blocked you for one of these things, and you would have done one of these things. Sit in the corner, Johnny, have a think about it, then email us back with an apology, show some contrition. And normally, after a couple of months, yes, you're back in, and you'll follow the rules that we've laid out there. So,
Dealing with children, isn't it?
It is a bit like dealing with children.
You reprimand them, you discipline them, they become better kids.
But you want to make sure that you're one, the main thing is one, protecting your brand. You don't want people spreading, rumors on your pages and things like that. The other thing is also to not get too much emotionally invested if you're the one reading it all.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've had a lot of people going, oh, it's so draining reading all these comments, and you start taking them on board yourself, or you start wanting to protect the players. Now, one, again, we've sorted the players out. They're not reading it. They get said far worse things in the media, people like yourself or KB and the papers and those kind of things, having a crack. So, you don't have to protect the players there. Most of them are big boys. But just sort of step away sometimes. If it's getting too much, step away. Come back in half an hour. Normally everyone does simmer down. But just having that process in place to be able to say, nah, we don't like that kind of behaviour. Go have a spell and then come back.
That's great advice. SportsGeekHQ.com for more of that sort of stuff from the birthday boy, Sean Callan. And Adam, you're not blocked because you've been giving it the KB read the marking contest. You must have been doing it in a polite fashion. And that's okay. Thank you, pal. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much, mate.
SportsGeekHQ.com for Sean.
Download our Facebook campaigns guide at SportsGeekHQ.com/FB campaigns.
Okay, it's me again. Just wrapping up the digitally remastered episode 1. If you got this far, thank you very much. You're a dedicated listener, or you don't know how to use the skip button on your podcast player. But I just want to say again from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much. I'm super humbled by, one, having listeners from around the world. 113 countries is amazing. 280,000 downloads. Absolutely humbled by people listening, but then also the feedback that I get. More importantly, from guests. When I hear guests saying, someone listened to the podcast and heard me on the podcast,
that gives me a buzz. So if you're listening to the podcast and you really enjoyed an episode with a specific guest, please reach out to them. Tell them that you listened. Tell them that you enjoyed their content and their opinion. It means a lot to me, and it definitely helps. Get people from a guest point of view. But it also, it's the reason I do the podcast. The podcast has been a big part of Sports Geek. It's definitely helped me learn more about the industry. But also, one of the big benefits is I've been lucky enough to then work with people that I've spoken with on the podcast. And I get to work in this industry, whether it's helping them understand what they're trying to do from a digital point of view, how they're valuing their content, what type of content they should develop, what audiences they should be targeting, how they should be leveraging certain platforms. I'm very thankful that I get to do that every day, and I get to speak to audiences either on stage or in smaller settings. So if you're someone working in a sports organization or a league or a sponsor or a brand, and you think I can help, please reach out. I really do love helping people who listen to the podcast. It's not something just I say. I really do love doing it. Reach out to me, Sean@sportsgeekhq.com, or @SeanCallinan on Twitter, or @SeanCallinan on our growing sports biz Slack. All right, that's it from me. Until next week, my name is Sean Callinan, and you've been listening to Sports Geek.
Join over 1,000 sports business executives in Sports Biz Slack. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/Slack. Please share your fave episodes of Sports Geek on LinkedIn. Be sure to tag Sean Callinan.
Go to sportsgeekhq.com for more sports digital marketing resources.
Want to chat with Sean? Book a time for a call. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/phone call.